can't. You better ball out on Sundays. All right. Anyway, let's bring in Benjamin Albright, host reporter, the Broncos flagship station, KOA Colorado, Broncos insider. But I don't think he's just a Broncos insider. I think he's an NFL insider. He knows more than our boy who comes in second place all the time, rocking the silver medal. Our boy Benjamin Albright, back on the morning roast here on the River Islands guest line. What up, Big Ben?
Hey, I was thinking about changing my name to Benjamin Gold, but it was already taken.
It was already taken. Well, you did name yourself the Master Roaster, so we do love that. So obviously, you guys got Bo Nix's situation here. Let's start with Brandon Ayuk because you're tapped in with the league. What the hell are you hearing about Brandon Ayuk? Where's this going? Is he going to be a Niner?
Well, I mean, that's my lean. If he doesn't get everything he wants in the contract, then there's always the Steelers outlet. It's my opinion that the Niners never wanted to trade Brandon Ayuk, and Brandon Ayuk never wanted to go anywhere else. The situation's just taken some convoluted twists and turns and all that kind of stuff with, you know how it is, the nature of the business and, posturing, trying to get the maximum out of a deal and get paid and squeeze juice from a stone, as it were. And so we're sort of seeing that play out the way that it has. My lean is that Ayuk ultimately takes the Niners' offer. We'll see. I know that the Steelers have been interested in Ayuk since dating back to March when they were trying to get him to pair with Pickens. The Niners aren't real happy with the compensation back. I mean, I guess they sort of have framework in place there, but they aren't real happy with the compensation back and what would be that deal anyway. So, my lean is that he comes back to San Francisco. What I will say is that at no point last week, despite internet rumors with dog avatars or whatever else you want to believe in, was any deal done between the Steelers and the Niners. There was no deal done between the two of them. None. Zero. Nada. So anybody reporting otherwise is full of crap and you should quit listening to them.
Huh. Wow. Why the stalemate? Like, it sounds like the Niners aren't budging in terms of like trading. It feels like they're, how do I put this? I'm going off reports here. So it just feels like the Niners are like, oh, okay, you don't want to play here? Well, we'll send you to this team or that team, which isn't the choice of where Brandon Ayuk would like to go. And then like they've presented an offer to Ayuk. I said, I need a little more. Like, why is this taking longer and longer and longer? It feels like neither party is budging.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. You got two organizations playing hardball. You know, you've got a good agent, a good organization. They're playing hardball with each other, and that's kind of how those situations work. I do think the Niners did look at some teams that maybe knew he wouldn't really want to go to, teams like New England or Cleveland, where they could get more back. And yeah, they would. These are the teams that have the most to be able to pay you as far as that kind of stuff goes. But also, you're probably not going to win there. So, you know, I think the idea was, hey, look, here's some options. They're not great options, or you can keep winning here. The Pittsburgh thing keeps coming back around because it's a team that figures to be a little bit competitive and one of the teams where I did potentially want to go. And, you know, that sort of creates a situation where the Niners are sitting like, okay, look, here's what we can do. If you want to leave, you can be the bad guy and leave and force it. But this is what we're willing to do. And that's kind of where we're at.
How does Brock Purdy look without Brandon Ayuk? And I know you're not a fortune teller, Big Ben. But Brock Purdy, part of me wants to see Brock Purdy, see how good he is without a Brandon Ayuk, to see if he's worth the $60 million per year that he may get next season. Do you think Brock Purdy elevates Brandon Ayuk, or is it the other way around?
I think there's a combination of both. I think the system elevates all. I think Brock Purdy elevates the receivers. I think the receivers elevate Purdy. The thing about Brandon Ayuk is he's a complete receiver. You know, he's a good route runner. He can work in the intermediate game. He's an excellent blocker, and he's willing in the run game, and that's inherently valuable for teams that look to run the ball a lot, like the Niners or the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he's, you know, I mean, I think both. I think there's a symbiosis there. You know, it's not one making right. The other. I think it's, the system has shown that you can put guys with talent in there and it will, they will produce, but an excellent receiver like Brandon Ayuk, who's got an all around game, is going to elevate as well.
What the heck's going on with Trent Williams?
I really don't have clarification on that one. That's one that's kind of had my eye on, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, yeah, he's in East Texas chilling. That's what we know.
I mean, I got that, but I don't know what the I don't. Beyond that, I don't. I don't have an insight there. I don't have insight there, and I don't want to. You know, I don't want to be like right. Dog Abby's on Twitter and pretend I know something I don't.
Like when you look at the 49ers and how they've conducted this offseason, what's the biggest mistake they've made?
I think think letting the Aiyuk situation get to where it is, I mean, letting that get out of house, you know, letting that get out, spill out of the public, and now you've got a worn-out fan base, you know, it's created tension. I mean, you can see it in some of the questions Kyle Shanahan gets asked, you know, it's created tension. Anytime you have a situation where it creates tension around your organization, that's a, you know, that's impacting the culture, you want to be focused on getting back to Super Bowls. I mean, the Niners are the, you know, the pinnacle of the NFC right now, and the last thing you want is distractions like this with a receiver that will he or won't he as you're midway through your preseason, almost midway through your preseason at this point. So I think that's probably the biggest mistake.
Do you think there needs to be a tinkering within the system to avoid holdouts? I don't know how you can avoid holdouts no matter what system you put in place, because this is the NFL, and guys, whenever they outperform their contracts, they seem to want to come back to the table to rip up their deals to get more guaranteed money. Is there a flaw in this system?
Well, I think there's a flaw inherent in every system.
I agree.
You know, I mean, if you solve that one, you're solving capitalism, right?
Right. I totally agree.
This is labor striking, right? So, yep. I mean, if you solve this one, if you figure out the answer, let us know, because you'll be a made man. But, it does seem suspect. It does seem problematic that that you got guys ripping up contracts and all that kind of stuff to come back and get more. But that is the nature of the business. It's what we've allowed to happen, and so it is what happens. And it's the only leverage really that players have anymore. Although if you hold out too long, your career seems to lap you by. And there are people that have made that mistake before. You can look at the Lev Bell situation with Pittsburgh, where he wound up costing himself millions of dollars. Got a contract with the Raiders that he didn't, you know, make good on. Excuse me, contract with the Jets that he didn't make good on. And at the end of the day, you know, he cost himself tens of millions of dollars. So there's a delicate balance there between holding out and trying to get more money, and then figuring out how to optimize and maximize your end as far as the money goes.
What's the biggest threat to the 49ers this year? Is it internal, whether it's depreciation, players getting worse or older, guys not actually playing, or is it the outside forces of the Lions and Green Bay and the emergence of some of these other teams in the NFC?
It's all of it. It's a combination of age, wear and tear, defection, because you got people going to other teams, whether that's coaches as they peel off and everybody wants a piece of your success, or players. It's a combination of all those things. I mean, and then you get the big thing looming, and that's the Brock Purdy contract. And you know, once that happens, it's going to impair your ability to be able to pay really anyone else, or at least give you the financial flexibility to be able to do that. You got a pretty sweet window there with the lowest paid quarterback, starting quarterback in the league, and that certainly assisted with being able to keep the defense together, being able to pay lines and receivers and all that kind of stuff. And so you're going to have to find an area like every other NFL team where you're going to have to skimp in order to try to make that money up. And when you do, it's going to be that's going to be the real coaching challenge, I think, for that group is, hey, look, we're going to have to cut. We're going to have to quit paying this position group in order to afford the quarterback. He's going to have to elevate them, and oh, by the way, we're going to have to coach him up, because we're going to have young guys on rookie deals at that position.
Anybody challenging the Chiefs this season?
Man, and they just had an offensive line injury a few minutes ago. I got some calls in on that. We're going to see if that's a big deal or not.
Mark Andrews too. Benjamin. Mark Andrews has gotten a car accident as well. Baltimore. Yeah, he was involved in a car accident today. Wow.
Oh boy.
Yeah. There's a little bit going around right now, so we're trying to figure that out. I think those are the two biggest threats right there, is probably Baltimore and Kansas City. I know people like Houston, but there's a lot of people that think Houston might have a bit of a regression this year. Not that C.J. Stroud is bad or anything, but that team kind of caught some teams napping last year and got some easy matchups against some backup quarterbacks, that kind of stuff. So there might be a little regression from Houston, but Baltimore and Kansas City probably the top of the AFC, and then whoever comes out of the AFC North. You know, besides Baltimore, whatever that other team is there, is probably going to be one to be reckoned with, whether it's Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, or maybe even Cleveland, although I doubt that. We'll see.
Who's going to be the biggest surprise rookie quarterback? Everyone's high on Caleb. I saw your guy, Bo Nix, look pretty good. Penix is on our screen right now. It's a lot of really good, talented players. Who do you think is going to be the most surprising player this year?
Jaden Daniels. I think that Washington team is going to sneak up on people this year. I think they're going to be better than people think. And Jaden looks pretty good out there. So I would not be surprised. Coach John Pagano used to be on my radio show here in Denver a couple of nights a week. He's out there on that staff. They're raving about him. They think they've got a little bit of a squad over there at Washington. They're going to catch some people napping this year.
Real quick, before we end the conversation, Ben, if I does not remain with the 49ers, and who the hell knows with all these reports. You're right. All these people reporting things and breaking news. It's like, wait a minute, he's still a Niner. But if he's not a 49er in 2024, can we take them seriously as an NFC contender and a team that could possibly get back to the Super Bowl?
Well, I think you have to until they prove otherwise. No. Kyle Shanahan, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, he's a big piece, man. Over 1,300 yards. And, yeah. You know, you just talked about Ayuk, how he's well-rounded.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great receiver, don't get me wrong, and that will impact the team, but I think you still have to take them seriously. I mean, they've got a great defense, they've got a strong run game, and Kyle Shanahan has shown what he's shown over the years, so I don't think that you can just suddenly just drop them, like a hot rock. But there's going to be an adjustment if that does come to pass, and we'll see. That'll be Kyle Shanahan showing his coaching acumen and trying to get someone else to fill that role. They found Ayuk in the first place. You got to figure they're smart enough to be able to find his replacement.
No doubt. Benjamin Gold, Master Roaster here on the Morning Roast. Ben, you're always good to us. Thanks for the time, buddy. Brother.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
Anytime. Benjamin Albright, KOA Radio in Denver, Colorado.
So he was saying at the beginning, you shouldn't trust certain avatars on Twitter. And as he's talking,